since most of the people here in the chapel are mothers and some widows, I think it's good to start with St. Bridget today. St. Bridget of Sweden, who was a mother, married young, married the governor of a district in Sweden, had 8 children. One of her children is a canonized saint, St. Catherine of Sweden. After her husband died, she dedicated herself to the interior life. She had a lot of a rich, very rich interior life, and she also founded a community. And she went to Rome, in fact, from Sweden all the way down to Rome, in pursuit of the will of God. So the reason I think Bridget is a good example for us, or a good example especially for wives and mothers and widows, because she shows us that holiness is not limited by our state in life. That any state in life, any condition of life, is the ground in which holiness can thrive. So Bridget was holy when she was a young mother and raising her children. She was holy when she was widowed. She was holy when she was a religious. Even the collect of today's Mass mentioned that different states of life or different conditions of life are revealed in St. Bridget. So good example for everybody. No, now, she did have some advantages. Of course, she was married to a high-ranking person. She had money, she had education. But those things can sometimes become obstacles to holiness themselves. So that's why she's just an example. One of many examples in the church of the pursuit of holiness in different states of life. Yesterday's saint was Saint Mary Magdalene. She is an example to all of us because she's an example of someone who was oppressed with evil, who was caught in sin, rescued, and became not only holy but a great evangelist, Saint Mary Magdalene. So the saints are examples for us. Just good for us to be inspired by their lives. Well, turning to the Word of God, which is our spiritual food, we recognize that this time of year we are in the season of the parables, especially this year, panahon ng mga talinghaga, because the Sundays, 3 Sundays in a row, we have parables. If you look ahead to Sunday, you know we have 3 more parables this Sunday. We had 3 parables last Sunday. Before that, we had the parable of the sower. And the weekday gospels this time of year are the same, reading from the same chapter of Luke, of Matthew chapter 13. An interesting thing happens, though, this year. It's liturgical trivia. The 2 parables that have explanations, that is the parable of the sower and the parable of the weeds and the wheat, both land on, this year, land on feast days. So yesterday was a feast day of St. Mary Magdalene, so we didn't read about the parable of the sower. But we will read, we will get the explanation tomorrow. And then Saturday is a feast day, Feast of St. James, and so we won't hear the parable of the weeds and the wheat, but we will get the explanation. I think it's Monday or Tuesday of next week. So the advantage of having them come up twice, in case there's a feast day, we still get the richness of the parables. Well, today, this gospel comes immediately after Jesus gives the parable of the sower. And the disciples, who apparently don't understand it, approach him and ask, "Why do you speak to the crowd in parables? Why do you speak to the crowd in parables?" You could ask an earlier question. Why speak at all? Why does God speak to us at all? And the answer to that is, he wants to share his life with us, and God is the great communicator of life. God, whose Son is the Word. God's whole life is communication, relationship. So that's why he speaks. And he speaks, as we learned from the parable of the sower, he speaks with abundance. The seed gets scattered everywhere. Footpath, rocky ground, good soil. It's as if God's speaking is super abundant. He wants so much to share his life with us. So that's the first thing. Why does God speak? Because God wants us to know him. He wants to share life with us. And we can't share life, we can't have relationships without communication. Personal communication. Okay, then the next question is, well, if you're going to speak, why speak in parables? And Jesus' answer to this is a little bit troubling because he makes it sound as if he's withholding the mysteries from some people and only revealing them to the few. Sounds like what we heard last week where Jesus praised the Father for hiding things from the wise and the learned and revealing them to the little ones. Well, the parables are like that. The parables are revelation to little ones. Parables are a rich source of instruction and life for those who are good soil. But to those who are full of their own ideas or they're attached to their own agenda, the parables bounce off like seeds on a footpath. It's not that God is simply exercising favoritism or simply giving to some and not to others. He actually is abundant with everybody. And every day is full of divine communication in some form or another. Here we have it by reading the word and hearing the preaching of the word. But God is communicating in circumstances, in creation, in people, even in trials. God is communicating all the time. The question isn't, why is God speaking in parables? The question is, are we listening to the word of God? Are we pondering the word? Are we good soil for the seed? Jesus, in his response to their question, makes it clear that some people see, but they look but never see. They hear, but they never really understand. They don't really receive. And that's why the word of God appears to them as obscure or symbolic, or it doesn't convey meaning. The parables are both simple and obvious and deep and profound and challenging, both at the same time. That's the greatness of the parable. The problem is not the parables, the problem is us. The greatness of the parables is that they can speak to everybody, but if someone is not listening, they don't speak to anybody. This possibility of not receiving the word or of not following what we are taught or not obeying how we've been instructed, this possibility comes up in today's first reading. Here we're in the very beginning of the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is sent with this message. Basically, I chose you, my beloved people. I gave you abundance. I brought you out of the slavery. I brought you through the desert. I brought you into the promised land. I cared for you, provided for you. And when you got to the promised land, you betrayed me. That's the word of God here. I brought you into this garden land with its goodly fruits, and you entered and defiled my land and made my heritage loathsome. You messed it up. You were unfaithful. You didn't follow the covenant. In fact, you even turned to other gods, the gods of the Canaanites. That's the indictment here. You know? This is the word of God to the footpath or to the rocky soil. He's not talking to the rich soil now. He's talking to us when we are not responding to the word. And it's a horrible thing. Listen to what he says. Be amazed at this, O heavens, and shudder with sheer horror. Shudder with sheer horror. That's how horrible it is when we reject the abundant life God offers us, when we close our hearts or harden our hearts, it's horrible. We shudder with sheer horror at that terrible possibility. And that's right, and it's important that we see how horrible it is, because then we can be moved to repentance. God isn't out to condemn us. He wants to win us back. So then at the end of the reading today, he explains what is so horrible. It's one thing to reject the Lord, the source of living waters, to reject the source of life itself. That's one thing. Of course, that leaves us barren. But then the second evil is to look to other sources, which are empty, broken cisterns, meaning they don't have any water at all. So the foolishness of rejecting the source of living water, that's one foolish thing. It's another foolish thing to look for living water in sources that can't provide. It's like turning away from the abundant seeds and looking to poison or garbage or noise, which is what happens in the modern world, right? Our lives are full of noise and fake news and gossip and things that do not give us life. So that's it. The readings are a little bit stern, but they're also reminders to us of the right way to go, the real source of life, Jesus at the end of the gospel. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. So if we open the eyes of our hearts, if we open the ears of our hearts, we are truly blessed. We're blessed because we're welcoming the source of life, the source of living waters, the source of abundance, communion with God. That's what we learn from the saints. That's what we learn from the Word. That's why we ponder the Word, so that we can receive this abundant life.